John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Hello and welcome to Talking Baseball. There were four teams, and now there are only three. We got a World Series contender, and we're still searching for the next. Let's talk about it. Hello and welcome to Talking Baseball. We are done with two games in a single day. No more. One game a day here on out because we have ourselves a World Series team in the race. Coming to you live from the Roosevelt Studios. And I remember to say that even without my sign. Fell off. And my name's Jimmy. And Jake's over here in his Broncos shirt. They play today.
Roosevelt's hat, baby.
Roosevelt's hat. Bronco hat. Shirt. Trev's over there in his Seahawks hat. And BBD's got his Lakers shirt on.
Big game.
So everyone's being supported.
Big game today.
How are you doing, Jake?
I'm good. Jimothy, Trevor, Big Baby David, the live Patreons. Thank you, Patreons. Go sign up at Patreon today. How about that? I'm good, man. I'm good. The Wicked Witch is dead, if we're being honest. You know, Trevor's talked about it a lot. You know, you shouldn't be holding this year's Astros achievements, you know, mixed up with the scandal. At the same time, I think it is good for the baseball community that they lose. It's almost, I think it almost landed at a good spot. Like, the Astros showed a little bit of a redemption. Like, hey, we are still pretty good. We just cheat a little bit. And the rest of the world doesn't have to deal with them potentially going to the World Series and making 2020, bro. So that's good. And how about the young aces dueling in Arlington, Trevor?
We had a lot of great baseball yesterday. I will say this about the Astros. I'm conflicted on how to feel as well. I felt like that was a good story that they came back. And then I remember they were without Yordan Alvarez. They were without Justin Verlander. I mean, imagine if those two guys were on this team. Like, they're probably in the World Series. So you got to give these guys credit for fighting. Like I said yesterday, I think I was talking about it during the game. What are they supposed to do, man? They rallied around each other. It was fun to see. They made a real nice run at it. But the Rays raised yesterday. And for three games before that, they weren't raising. So happy for them. See what happens today. Big day. Big day in baseball.
Big day. And Jake mentioned the patrons that we love so much. And we have some new ones that are bringing you this show. They are very special people. Brian Leonard, Blake Paxtow, Steve McCulloch, Charlie Devlin, Addison Harrelson, Andrew Ozzie Xavier Torriento, nicknamed Dingo. Gregorio Leon, Matt Lifts-a-Lot, Ismael Acosta, 281, Jermaine Francis, Microscope Guy, Zachary Austin, Patrick Finley, David Dupree, Steve Pube, Ricardo Perozo, Anthony Prochaska, Andrew Donaldson, and London Vibes. Ooh. You ever put off London Vibes?
London Vibes. Not really. I'm just very American Northeast vibes almost all the time.
Glass now puts out London Vibes.
London Vibes. Trev can get to London Vibes if he gets the right glasses on, I think. You know, maybe a nice mock turtleneck.
I don't know. Trev's got some good American
vibes.
Yeah,
he does. He does.
I'm a straight up American.
We'd have
right
to
here.
Spin him a little bit. I could see
a little
it happening.
I could do the French route if I needed to. I can pull that off. But I'm a patriot.
Hoorah.
French route. Okay. Well, you know, it is a cron pod. Glass now did.
How are you doing, Jen?
I'm doing well. Doing good. Messed up my new commute twice on the way to the office.
Flush it out of the system.
On the way home last night was awesome.
Undefeated.
Awesome. 15 minutes. It's crazy.
I don't know if you guys remember this, but the French came to our aid as we were fighting off the English.
How about that?
So there you go. I was actually on both sides of us declaring independence.
It's only because the South didn't have anything to offer besides cotton. And to try and get the British and the French to help, they burned all their cotton and said, you know, if you guys aren't going to help us, we're not going to give you any cotton. And then they burned all their cotton. And then they were like, okay, that was seemed pretty irrational. Why'd you burn all your cotton? We didn't change our minds. And then the South was out of cotton, and then they didn't have enough material to keep fighting in the war. So
they also needed the Navy.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that helps too.
Yeah.
Bang.
Bang.
France is cool. Okay. Just leave us. Let us be.
I mean, I think the bigger point would be if you think you could pass as a Frenchman, I think that means you could pass as a British man if you needed to.
No, but I mean, baguette in his hand and some stripes with that beard.
Oh, I'll put a baguette in his hand.
Like, give me like a cigarette and like a little coffee, and I can just sit out and eat like a little pastry on the street. I could do that.
You'd actually look good in that like generic stereotype French shirt, the black and white almost stripes. Mime shirt.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Said it was weird.
And like a little red scarf,
skinny jeans.
Yeah.
All right.
Pull that off.
Let's get into game one, Jake. You got a burn for us?
Always. Always, Big Daddy.
Here we go. On your mark. Get Cron set. Pod. Oh, yeah. Game one was actually Dodgers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to need to listen closer to your burn because I didn't get to watch a lot of this game. I was moving.
Moving day.
On your mark. Get set. And burn.
The Braves' second shot at eliminating the Dodgers, and this time they'd have their ace, Bang Bang Maxwell Silverhammer, as Freed tries to outduel LA's Walker Texas Ranger Buehler down in Arlington. Bottom one, light up a cigar. Corey Seager with another home run, he's feeling hot, hot, hot. Turn around every now and then. Justin hits a solo homer that makes the score 2-0. Cody says, get in my belly, as he fat bastards an RBI single. It's 3-0 Dodgers. How long would Max stay in for this one? Braves load him up in the second. No outs like my mom around the holidays. Walker finally turns up the heat. Strikeout, strikeout, ground out. Walker looked great. 6 innings pitch, 0 runs, 7 Ks, and no walks after his career high. Take that, blister. And hey, how about Mad Max frying the Dodgers the rest of the way? 6.2 innings pitch, 3 earned runs only in the first. Make it matter. Here comes the Dodgers bullpen. First pitch, triple. Oh boy, Trinan gives up one to, Ron Acuna. But that'd be it. Buehler to Trinan, Tobias to Kenley Jansen. Dodgers win 3-1. We're going to Game 7 in the NL.
Trev, I didn't get to watch this game, as I said. Jake, fantastic burn. Okay. Is the fix in?
Trev?
I don't, the fix is not in. The Dodgers had a good approach against Max the first inning. He was also right in the middle of the plate. He seemed to obviously settle down after that. I would call it a gutsy performance by him. But Walker was kind of the story yesterday. Loads the bases up. And then out of nowhere, he just rears back and throws fastballs by everybody. And he had a little funk or something on his ball because they weren't even close. Like, guys were swinging 6 inches under the ball. You know, they were late on it. He was throwing, 98 to 100 just by people. But that's kind of what we expected. If you were going to go back and really look at the game and analyze it, Max and Walker going head-to-head and doing what they did was pretty fun to watch. But we said it all along, the Braves got to go as their offense goes. And they got shut down yesterday, so they got to step it up today. It's hard to shut them down 2 days in a row. Hard to shut those Braves down.
Now, a little storyline here. I thought I saw Passan. Tweeting about it. Trev, you watched a couple Max Fried pitches with us on the live stream during this series earlier on, and you said, oh, I think he's got a tell. They're hunting out the curveball, which I don't know if that's the normal approach versus Max. I forget passing stats. I can bring him up. Do we think that he was tipping? Do you think that, Trev? Do you think it's just a good approach?
I can ask Max. But I think Flex. I told you guys, like he's bringing it up and then bringing it down. And when you have a guy doing that, the first thing you'd look at is like, what's the depth on both of those things? Is he going to his belt, above his belt? And they pay people to do this now. Like they are dissecting you as a pitcher. So
I think it was Buster, not passing, that tweeted it out.
Okay. I told you, like, yeah, like he's someone, like if he was on the bump and I'm on the other team and I'm watching video and I'm seeing him doing that, I'm going all in on the tape and finding something. So there's a possibility it happened because they were putting some really good swings on the ball. And if that happens, it's as easy as Max being like, okay, I'm just going to fucking mess with it. You know, he just can consciously just change anything up a little bit, throw him off, and then they'll completely stop. Because you're not going to do it unless you're sure. So if he fucks a few people up, then it's kind of you're off of it. But that's definitely a possibility that that happened.
Yeah, the stats were in the first game, they swung at 12 curves. They missed on 5 of them. Today, they swung at 9 curveballs, and they made good contact on 8 of the 9. So I don't know. It's a little bit of a bummer that we fall into this. Was he tipping all the time? But then it's also a cool part of baseball, and you talk to any baseball player, talk to Trev, talk to, I mean, Josh Tolley. Like, you know, the more I've talked to pros, the more it's like, yeah, dude, everyone is searching for a tip at all times. So it is a big part of baseball. But it just feels kind of grimy to anytime they get a pitcher, be like, he was tipping.
Yeah, and Trevor had a really good point when we reconvened last night, because I laughed when the tipping thing came out, because right when it got tweeted, Justin Turner watched a 3-1 curveball down the middle, and I was like, I don't know, I think if they had him, 3-1 curveball, I think Justin Turner might get one.
You take.
At the same time, I don't know. There's a chance that they had something on Fried and then he adjusted, which Trevor was alluding to. I also think, you know, it could very easily be, you know, they're seeing him for the second time in 5 days. And it's a pitcher's first inning. That's normally when a starting pitcher is the most vulnerable. Trevor said he was missing some of his spots early. Like, that happens in the first innings as starting pitchers lock in. We've seen this a lot of times. So there could be a little column A, column B. I don't know. I wasn't picking up anything on Max because I don't hit baseballs ever. But I don't know. Could be both. I didn't like that they were so early to it. Because I think the original tweet from Buster Passon was like, got a, you know, someone from a MLB organization told me they think Max is tipping. And it's like, okay, well, like, who is that? Like,
you guys should have tweeted out the same thing.
Yeah. who reached out on that?
Staffer with another team. That's
Staffer
how
with another team. I mean, what's that mean? You know?
That doesn't mean anything. You could say that literally about every single pitcher.
Well,
that comes
I could have tweeted out. I could have tweeted out staffer with baseball company believes Max Fried may be tipping.
Yeah.
And that would have been true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't call me a staffer.
So, yeah, I was wondering if that's a rude term. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm offended a little bit. Right
what
now.
Does like staffer mean?
It could be anyone. Anyone that works for.
Aren't we all staffers?
MLB, yeah.
It just comes
off.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm
not that offended. I was just kind of messing around.
It's a weird
you
word.
Can call me a staffer.
So, I don't know. Max settles down after that either way, tipping or not, and gives
I
them.
I texted him right now, so we'll see if he gets back to me.
Gives them big innings that Braves fans were hoping mattered yesterday. They didn't. But hopefully they matter today because he did save the bullpen for a chunk. Circling back.
Yeah, that's the thing is, if you were to go back, 6 2/3, 3 runs, do you think Max takes that?
Yeah.
Like the pregame,
yes.
Like, okay, I'll
second
take
start
line.
Against the Braves, yeah, elimination game.
6 2/3, save the bullpen, keep your team in the game.
Circling back to Walker Buehler.
Walker.
Because
yes.
After that, after they get to Max Fried, the Braves come up, they load the bases, 3 straight singles. Walker has been sitting at 96-97, and I'm now stealing from Jason Stark, but all the Short Kings had this at the time. Here are his following fastballs that inning. 98-98-99-98-98-98-99-99-100-98-98. And he was pumping heaters. It was cool to watch.
Blister Buehler, no more. No walks this game. He was, like, hitting his spots and throwing harder. So I think it's kind of fair to deduce he had a better feel for the
ball. I think he's won with the blister now. I think and the blister have teamed up.
I think he might have frozen.
I heard the whole team got around it and peed on it all at once.
Yeah. We tried that once in my team hockey. It didn't work.
BBD's interview process. Very
similar. You didn't have a blister then, Jim. It was just like more trying it out.
Hobby.
Yeah, it was like, hey, piss on my hands.
Interest. Curiosity and cats, they say.
Okay.
All right.
It'd be fun if Max got back to me and said something, and then we could tweet out.
That would be really cool.
Max.
Staffer for the Braves.
Yeah.
Yeah, staffer for the Braves.
Says like he was. We just quit. Staffer from the Braves says he was tipping.
Yeah.
Or Staffer
admits that he was tipping on the mound.
Quote from Staffer from the Braves, and then in quotes, I was tipping.
Yeah.
And then people are like, who said that?
Yeah.
Well, who's your source? Anyone. Don't worry about it.
It was Chris Martin.
And the I think the other thing around it that also kind of kept me off the Fried tipping train, I mean, the guys that got him, Seager, as hot as could be, everyone fired off their tweet. Just an absolute monster this series. I think it was his fifth home run this series.
My gosh.
Turner, we've kind of been waiting for him to get going. His swing is funky, man. When it works, which it does a lot, it just feels like the ball comes off the bat weird, and then Belly gets him. So, I mean, it's not, I don't know. I guess all the names on the Dodgers, until you get to the bottom of the lineup, are kind of premier names. But, yeah, I mean, they put up a big three spot in a game they had to have. Walker survives that second, and from there, I mean, it was, I don't want to say cruise control. Cruise control until the bullpen came out. Oh, my God.
It's a tough game for Austin Riley and Mark Akis. I think those two guys left a lot of guys on base. Base is loaded, and then, you know, in the second, base is loaded, and then he strikes out Riley, strikes out Mark Akis, Pache grounds out. But Pache, you know, you're not going to hold that firmly against him. Dude had four regular season at-bats,
yeah.
I'll remind you. And I think two or three innings later, there was a runner on. Dansby gets on, and Riley strikes out. Or even before that, I think in their second at-bats, there was something else too. Yeah, it was two on. So they had bases loaded. Austin Riley had a lot of guys on base.
Austin Riley 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position yesterday.
And it was a lot of runners in scoring position. So, you know, he had a big hit earlier. Hopefully Walker had his way with the bottom of the lineup.
Yeah. Dansby Swanson, ex-roommate, went 3-for-3 off Walker. So there's some good bragging rights and some good fun there. Man, Dansby was fun yesterday. He was picking it. He stole a bag. I think I'm calling him a soft five. I think he's a soft five to a player. Hard 10, look-wise and penis, but I think he's a soft five. And I might, maybe this offseason, I'll make my all soft five to a players. But he's having a nice series. The Mookie Betts catch was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Hold on. I don't think I've seen this.
The Betts catch?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
We talked about it. When did we talk about that, Jake?
I think we talked about it on the stream, yeah.
I loved his reaction afterwards, like how fired up he got his team and everybody. Like, you know, that's the guy.
And it's just, I probably love good defense better than good offense. I don't know how many right fielders even attempt to catch that ball. I think a lot of them turn, face the wall, and say, let's go. I'm assuming the fence out there, Trev, is 10 feet because Mookie caught it at, like, the top of the wall. So maybe it's 9 feet. I don't know. Get a basketball hoop out there. But he's a special dude. And, I mean, hey, go back a couple games now, man. I mean, he's got the shoestring catch and doubles up Ozuna. He caught this one at the top of the wall versus Ozuna. He's an animal, man. He's showing, and it's great. It's why he should be on this stage showing the world why he is Mookie Betts.
Well, we all are animals.
Okay.
You want to break it down.
Heavy. Heavy.
Meta. Yeah, so I always reference my buddies who are Dodger fans because that's who I really interact with. And they are saying, like, I can't believe we have this guy for 50 more years, whatever the contract is. Like, it's when you watch a guy like that play every day, it's a lot different than just seeing some highlights. When you just see some highlights, you're like, oh, yeah, he's pretty good. But you watch, like, the intricate things, like, you know, what he does defensively. You know, instead of just seeing home run clips, you're seeing, you know, him holding a runner at first base instead of the double, like small stuff like that, taking the extra base. Mookie does it all. He's a superstar who, you know, is good for your clubhouse, can play defense, can play offense, can run the bases. He just takes the game over. He's everything you want. And the Dodgers, the Red Sox, man. Like, the more and more I think about it, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Just watched it for the first time. Great camera work by FS1. The cut from Mookie catching it to immediately screaming like a crazy person, and then immediate cut to Buehler just stoic with his hand up. It's awesome.
Walker knew it was out the whole time.
Ozuna smiling because that's all he does.
Yeah. Hasn't had a bad day in his life.
Big old smiley bear.
I bet you he has.
Trev!
Come on,
don't
Trevor.
Bring him down.
We're all animals, bro.
We're all animals here.
Watch how many holes I can put this baguette in. And I think the other big storyline that comes from this game, Kenley Jansen.
He's back.
The ninth inning, 6 pitches, 3 outs, 6 strikes. His last 2 appearances now, I think, is 2 innings, 16 strikes, 18 pitches, and the cutter is cutting. In the words of Alex Rodriguez, it's a Christmas gift in October.
He did say that.
Also, like, Norm, are you upset with Riley and Markakis again? Like, Jansen's in, and they both swing first pitch.
Yeah.
And
give
him 2 pitches, 2 outs, and it's like Jansen's in a save situation here.
Cake's got a leadoff first pitch triple off Trinan, which was the first pitcher.
I get
out
it,
of the
but like when Austin Riley goes 1 pitch, 1 out, like make this dude
it's
work.
A bad feeling.
When Canley's got 2 pitches, 2 outs, the longer he's on that mound, the worse things go for him.
I am not sure how I feel about that because I don't like having to go down 0-1. We've talked about the numbers before. You need to be ready to hit first pitch. It doesn't look good when you both get out. But it happened so fast. I was in the kitchen. I had the game on, and the ninth inning starts. I don't know. I did something. Not a lot of time. I come back. It's 2 outs. I thought like there was a glitch in the matrix. But 2 first pitch outs, and then, yeah, he's looked good. His velo's up. And gotta love A-Rod. Just he's the best.
Was he on the call yesterday?
No, he was in the studio.
Dude, let's talk about the post-game shows between TBS and FS1.
Sure.
I can't watch FS1.
Okay. I don't know who's on
TBS has
Ernie,
Grandy, Jimmy Rollins, and who else?
Who's Pedro?
And Pedro.
Yeah.
And Ernie. And then FS1 is A-Rod, Big Poppy, and Frank Thomas. And it's like, I can't.
Well, Jake told me something that A-Rod said, and then he said Frank Thomas agreed with him. I don't forget what you said, but it was awful.
They're talking about Kershaw starting. And they're saying start Kershaw game 7.
It's all because those guys, all they want to do is like, well, this is how I did it. And this is how we
No,
did
not
it.
A-Rod. A-Rod wants to say this isn't how I did it, and that's how you should do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, something like that. But, you know, they're all kind of detached from the actual game right now. I bet you they don't really watch the games and understand, like, how it's played right now. A-Rod, I guess, has to watch them every once in a while, but he's just
Why is A-Rod. A-Rod doing this? I know Jake asks that all the time.
Know how rich he is?
To see himself out there, dude. Yeah. He wants to shine. That's why.
Always tasting. He's always
everything.
Tasting.
He wants to be in the spotlight.
Yeah. I don't watch those shows, but I saw one Jimmy Rollins clip, and this is very unfair because I only saw him say one thing, but he contradicted himself 3 times in the same sentence.
Tough.
And remember we were all in the office, and I was like, what, Jimmy Rollins? I was just walking past the kitchen, and he said literally like opposing sentences back to back.
Pedro's really good. Like when he's talking about pitching,
well, Pedro's
like,
the best. Pitching. Pedro's everything really A-Rod wishes he could be off the field.
I mean, there's three MLB pitchers that have like Pedro tattoos on them and go out and try to pitch like him.
Yeah, he was dissecting an at bat the other day and talking about how what he looks for on the mound, and it's scary to think like with his stuff and then like the mental aspect, like him being able to read hitters and swings, like that's
And he would do the Yandy Diaz. He would just stare at batters before and after at bats because he said, like, I need to intimidate them. I'm a small guy up here.
It's kind of – I mean, Frank Thomas and David Ortiz – Frank Thomas is one of the largest humans to ever play baseball, yes. And he was a DH. Like, played the game differently than a lot of people. David Ortiz ended up in that camp.
Yeah, Frank Thomas' experience wasn't really the baseball experience.
A-Rod was 1-1 and has lived one of the weirdest lives ever. Anyways –
they're not like real people on FS1.
No.
They seem like they're just like
they grab characters. The names.
Yeah. Like nobody, they don't live a normal life whatsoever, dude. Like you can't if you're Frank Thomas. You're Frank Thomas, dude. You're huge. You can't live a normal life. So I don't even blame them.
Would love to talk to Kevin Burkhardt about it. Because he seems nice. Last Jakey analytics. Every spot in the lineup for the Dodgers had a hit yesterday, except Kike Hernandez, because I took him in the homer draft.
It's okay.
It's not true, actually, Jake, but, you know, whatever.
No, it is, Trevor, because
AJ Pollock.
Jock Peterson pinch hit for AJ Pollock, so that would be the spot in the lineup.
Listen
so
to the
can,
details.
You can eat semantics. Shit sometimes. You can eat shit for breakfast.
Jakey got you.
You know, in France, we eat shit with our baguettes.
Wow.
Shit into the baguette.
It's a shit baguette.
Hollow it out. Like Kinder's.
So that's good.
Kinder's has a sandwich like
that. There was one weird thing from the Brave side in this.
That MLB's rigging it against them?
Chris Martin throws 30 bullets in this game.
Kill him.
He's supposed to be like their number two reliever, and you've got a game 7 tomorrow.
Yeah.
30 bullets?
He's dead.
Talk to Pete Moylan about it. He says, yeah, I don't know what that's about.
You guys are fast friends.
Such fast friends. He's a weed guy. We're good.
Moylan likes us. It's awesome.
Love Moylan. He's legit. I think you guys would be tight. Because, like, we'd all be hanging out, and then you guys would tell actual Major League stories, and me and Jimmy would just, like, do that guy in the club, just kind of bouncing.
Yeah, one time I peed up.
I don't want any new friends. No, I don't.
We were this freshman game at Brookfield High. You should have seen it. Ball hit the track, bounce over.
We were playing whiskey foosball.
Ah, I'm so drunk.
Threw up on ourselves.
Cute girl from the gym said she came to the party. I didn't even realize she was there. She said she saw me threw up on myself. Anything else on this?
Old glory day stories. We could go on and on. No, that's all. Just really wonder what's going to happen in game 7, you know?
Wow, A-Rod.
Been thinking about it.
Watch that seating.
What's going to happen?
Is everyone full go? Their bullpens are all full go for today.
I think Chris Martin's the question.
We'll do it on the pregame show. We'll do it on the pregame show, which is right after.
That's right.
Us.
Forgot what show we're doing.
Yeah.
You're good.
Okay.
Brown pod.
Moving on to the next series.
Brought to you by the shop at John Boy Media. Shop.johnboymedia.com. Bunch of shirts.
On your mark. Get set. And burn, Jakey, burn.
America's team, the Houston Astros, trying to come back from 3-0 would be only the second time in baseball history to achieve such a feat. Versus Trevor Plouffe's Tampa Bay Rays, trying to not be on the wrong end of history. Lance will make them dance. McCullers versus the Salt Man, Charlie Morton, former teammates. We got storylines galore. Bottom one, it tastes just like Randy. So rake with me. A Rosarena does it again. 2-run shot in the second. Zanino, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, makes it 3-0 when he's hitting fat dingers. McCullers' final line is 3.2 innings, 3 earned run. Mikey Z again says, show me your kitty, girl. Sack fly. But let's do it for the H. Correa RBI single. Oh, no. Bregman's chasing heaters like a buzzed frat broy. How about Charlie the Hammer Morton? Not talking about curveballs, Tirico. 5.2 shutty to Anderson to Fairbanks. The Rays show the fortitude to beat the Astros 4-2. Foil Dusty's plan, and the Rays are going to the World Series. Raise up, Stamkos.
Wow. Good burn.
You could have said chasing heaters like Trev.
I thought about throwing you into the bus there. And that's
just kidding.
Hopefully we'll be there in Arlington.
Good run by Dusty. Sad that we don't get to watch Framber pitch anymore. That's about it. And this game had everything I wanted. We had the tying run in the batter's box in the ninth inning. And I think if you're, you know, watching a game seven game, that's kind of as, if you're not a fan of either team, that's as much as I could ask. Give me like a huge at bat where a home run changes everything. Keep it close. And you know, so as a fan, I was entertained. I enjoyed it. The Rays, I think getting those early runs was really, really important, obviously. Cash's plan, that's like the least amount of pitchers I think they've used all playoffs, just three. And they let Anderson ride a couple times when we were like, you got to take him out. I mean, he had a man on first and second with only one out. And they let him go, one pitch, double play.
Rays double play. Yuli, tough one. Charlie Morton, man, 5.2 innings, 2 hits, 66 pitches. You know, I'm sure Rays fans had to be kind of like, we're going to Anderson over Morton right now? And Anderson technically gives up 2 earned runs in this one. So, shout out to Charlie Morton. He's now, what, 4-0 in do-or-die games? He had the record at 3-0. He stretches that out a little bit. He's a sick puppy, and hey, John Boyd's been on this for a few weeks now, but, you know, Snell gets the love. He's got the Cy in the bag. Glasnow, he's got some of the nastiest stuff in baseball. Chuck Morton is the one you don't want to see on the bump, man. He's been disgusting this playoffs. He's been literally an MLB best ever in elimination games. And, you know, that ends up being the difference, if we're being honest. Lance gets knocked around for 3 earned runs. Charlie goes 5.20.
Charlie's been the best pitcher by far.
Like, I mean, even last year, I mean, he was. I thought he had a Cy Young in the bag or close to one. It was last year he was third in the Cy Young, seemingly getting better with age. I don't know how you do that. In the first inning yesterday, he throws a fastball 98 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, Charlie's ready.
Yeah.
Charlie Morton's the best big game pitch I've ever seen with these two eyes.
He's just so stoic out there. You feel, and I don't know, maybe he is, you know, does have nerves or whatever. It just seems like he doesn't care. Like, it doesn't matter the situation. And man, in a game seven, it's kind of the attitude you want on the hill. You set the tone for the rest of the team. They got him some runs early. I don't know who predicted that. Some awesome baseball pundit. But yes, what a performance, man. And now we're setting things up for the World Series now, which is kind of cool. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with him. Does Charlie get bumped up a day? I don't know.
Well,
I think you probably leave him for 3-7.
3-7.
I don't know.
Yeah. Can you do 3-7?
I think so, right? Because they get the extra off day.
Don't you want to make sure he pitches make sure he pitches 2 games? Or I don't know. Like,
it's the whole new strategy thing. I don't know. I mean, game three.
Well, today is his first day of rest, Sunday.
Yeah, so it seems like
Monday, game three is second day of rest. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, and then there's an off day Thursday. So three, he'd be on a lot of rest. But if there was a game on Thursday, you could pitch him then on normal rest, but there's not. So then he kind of is pitched push back to three. I don't like that.
He's an old man. He likes a little extra rest.
Yeah. I mean, but then you got Snell going game two and Glasnow game one.
Yeah. Still pretty nice. Still pretty nice. Trevor.
Yes.
What else we got? Cash hits some buttons. He leads off with Margot, who finished the game with the two homers, which I love. How about the Rays? Analytically driven, you know, going hitting that button because Margot was swinging a good stick. I hope other teams kind of lean into that thought process a little more. A Rosarena, I mean, as much love as I'm giving Charlie Morton, how about in the first inning, the bad man, the dude that the Astros probably circled before the game and said, oh, here's the guy that we can't let beat us, and he does it again. It's unreal.
They tried to trick him that first inning because he did I don't know if he took the fastball or he swung through it, but it was kind of like a surprise heater. And then they tried to go back to it. And, man, he's just on it. He's just on it right now. And, yeah, you can't let Randy beat you. I mean, it was the first inning, but definitely nice to get ahead in the game early. You always want to be able to do that. We got to see Lance kind of throw his arms up. He's not good with the homers. Probably needs to fix that a little bit if I had to.
You mean his reaction to the homers or the fact that he lets?
The reaction. Probably got to fix that a little bit. But look, this was more of the Rays that we saw the first three games. I know we've referenced that a few times now, but like they win with timely hitting and defense and pitching. They did all of those things in game seven after failing to do them the previous three games. I really do think, I know we were messing around on the chat yesterday and trying to get me on TBS, and that was a lot of fun. But I really do think, like, Bregman not getting to second base on that ball, whether it was because of the shift or he just made a bad read, I don't know. It's kind of a little bit of both, I'd assume. That saved a run. And instead of 4-2 in the ninth, you're sitting 4-3, and you got the game, the go-ahead run instead of the tying run to play. I mean, there's a lot of things changed because of that. So that was, again, the Rays being the Rays and kind of finding that lane that they live in. And when you're in that lane or they're in that lane, it's tough for teams. They got to stay there.
I'm rewatching the Randy home run and how McCullers approached him because we were trying to set up the tech and missed it. Ooh, yeah. So he took a fastball right down the middle earlier in the at bat. Probably juiced him up. Swing big. I mean, the Astros had a good run. Like Jake said, probably good that they got to redeem themselves a little bit in some people's eyes and even get, like, at times, people rooting for them because the drama and the story was so crazy. And Dusty got his hugs put on full display and the type of leader he is again, which is awesome. And, like, you know, in this new manager's just a puppet who answers to the analytics. It's kind of cool to see a guy like literally managing emotions of players.
Yeah, this is one team you really had to do that. We talked about it. He's perfect for this job.
Anything else? I mean, the Rays are, they get the two off days now going to the World Series. They don't know who they're going to play. Their bullpen is taking a beating. But so is the Braves and Dodgers,
yeah,
so we're going to get
this,
like,
point, yeah,
sloppiness. Like, Anderson got beat again.
I know. You got to be thinking, like, how much trust is in Anderson right now. Like, obviously he still has some, but not as much as he did coming into this series.
They definitely need to find a good lane for him in one of those first two games and just, like, give him an inning. Like, let's get through here clean so we can have you the rest of the way. They don't even go to Castillo, which is kind of the Rays taunting on the Yankees a little bit because, oh, my God, if they had Castillo, he'd be up every inning.
But I don't think he was available because they used him the day before.
I mean, Game 7, he would have been available. They got Glasnow up in the ninth if they needed him. So that was kind of the Rays flex there as well. G-Man Choi goes 2-for-3 with a walk. He went from coal beater to, like, a problem in this series. Good for him. .385 batting average, a .529 on base. On the other side, Altuve's hitting stats from this series are insane. .563 on base and .885 slugging. That's higher than a Rosarena. So, you know, the throw came out again from Altuve. Nice pick by Gurriel to make that not a story. Holy smokes. And, yeah, I guess the only other thing that really jumps out from the box score, George Springer, 0-for-4. I give him a lot of love for being a UConn guy, New Britain, Connecticut, you know, postseason records with the home runs. 0-for-4 in the game 7 while, you know, Altuve had a couple, Brantley had a hit and a walk, Correa had the hit and two RBIs, Breggy had a hit. That stands out a little bit.
I want to touch just briefly on, like, the end of the Astros era, right? I mean, we're kind of got to see it that way. I know Correa's locked in. Altuve's locked in. And they have Yordan.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of young pitchers.
But you're losing Springer. Verlander's gone for next year, right? Doing Tommy John. Yep. Who else is a free agent there? I'm trying to look it up right now. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I got you. I'll look it up. But, yeah, it is like a changing of the guard in a couple places or a new regime, but they still have the mainstays. I mean, Verlander's out due to injury. Brantley's a free agent.
Brantley.
Reddick's a free agent. Springer's a free agent. I think that's all.
Yeah, and Quentin Hubinger, our resident Astros fan, is fighting back a little bit, Trev, because, hey, I mean, we'll see. We're assuming Springer's gone. I mean, if he comes back, I mean, this lineup's going to look pretty similar next year. I mean, Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Tucker, Gurriel. You know, that's
on Yuli back. When I think of the Astros, I think of George Springer. Like, he was the one on the cover of the Sports Illustrated article. He hits, I mean, he's just, to me, that's kind of who I think. But yeah, they've locked up some of the core. Honestly, if I was them, I would have locked up Springer. But they have Bregman locked up. They have those guys locked up. So yeah, I mean, maybe not an end of an era, but it's definitely going to look different.
They
do have a new regime there.
Really interesting free agency, man. I wonder what they got to spend because, you know, you're probably looking for a starting pitcher to replace what Verlander could have been, or are they doing something in the lineup? I don't know. They're going to be a fun team to watch this offseason. And what I said before, I mean, yeah, I really do think this is best case. I think the Astros shut up the annoying over-the-top haters. Like, hey, we are still really good. And I think if you're, you know, one of the people out there that are just like, man, it really sucks. The Astros fucking cheated. Like, hey, they're not going to the World Series. And I'm sure there's some spiteful Yankee fans that can be like, oh, yeah, that's what losing in a Game 7 of the ALCS feels like.
Yeah.
I had something I wanted to say too, but I forgot. So that's good.
Taste yourself. Go Rays.
Go Rays. They're in the World Series. Here's what I wanted to say. And this is for
Fix
Quentin
was not
and,
in
and
over
Harry.
Here.
Found it.
No?
What?
The Fix was not in over here.
No.
Caremine.
Quentin and Harry, I got to ask you this question. And I'm not sure the answer. I'm genuinely asking a question here. Are free agents going to flock to the Astros? Like, I feel like, why would, they'd have to pay up because why would you want to go through that scrutiny? Go on a team where you know everyone's just going to hate on you. Like, until that is changed, it's hard for me to have people going there unless they pay up. So it's going to be interesting to see who they can lure there and who they can't.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into that during free agency, I guess.
Bye, Astros.
Goodbye, Astros. Congrats to the Rays.
We love ya.
Who makes the better series? Rays Dodgers, Rays Braves?
Who makes the better series?
Really good series.
Dodgers.
Because they're all intertwined. I mean, the front offices are basically the same. Like Jake always says, do you say this, Jim? The Dodgers or the Rays with money?
I think you said that, and I loved it so much, so I've repeated it.
I said it. I guess Jimmy took it.
Oh, okay.
I think I might have said it first. Now that Jimmy gave me credit, that's all that matters because he's the boss.
At least I didn't give myself credit. I knew I stole it from someone.
Yeah.
But it's very true. It's very true.
Yeah, I would love for that to be a thing. I would also love the Braves to be in there. I think that's a fun story too, and we would have some fun with it, you know, with our with the mansplaining girls. And I think the better baseball series is Rays Dodgers.
Hey, Jeff, you know I'm a ratings freak these days, just a ratings hawk. Good news, baseball fans. Braves Dodgers game four is the most watched NLCS game four in 3 years. It's only like 9% down from last year, which is great. On the other side, the Rays don't bring in anyone. So we'll see how this World Series goes. Who does
Quentin and Harry are still in the chat saying that people are going to, I'm being honest with you guys. I just don't, that's the second, third option for people because they don't want to have to deal with the scrutiny that it comes with playing with the Astros right now. It's just bottom line, dude.
Yeah. Money especially talks. If it's someone that like bashed him in the offseason or anything like that. I was going to say something, but I forget.
He forgets.
Damn it.
Everything you own in a box, who forgets?
Everything you own in a box to the left.
DVD like that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say. Cool. Something about the ratings, because I'm a ratings fan.
Ratings hawk.
Ratings hawk, Trev. Games one and games two of the ALCS between the Rays and the Astros. The two lowest CS games in the history of baseball. Down 70%. And everyone's like, well, there was Sunday night football and there was the debate on Sunday. Well, Monday was worse than Sunday. Very weird.
Monday night football.
Oh, this is what I was going to ask. Who can the Rays make a star in the World Series? Like, it's Randy and Glass now? Like, become a household, get, like, a Pepsi commercial, become a star.
G-Man.
Yeah, Choi is definitely
Choi's marketable. And then I think it's Randy and
Joey Wendell.
Well, Joey Wendell, maybe, for, like, a promise ring company.
Dark horse to do that, Brasso. He already has the one moment in the playoffs that everyone remembers. If he does that again.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of a lefty. I mean, I guess if he pumps Kershaw a few times.
Do Glass now and Snell count?
Well, we already talked about this. No one's putting Snell on billboards or commercials, but Glass now maybe.
But Snell's kind of got a thing going on. Snell's got a thing going on.
Snell is he's got like the Twitch young thing. Person's
he's
guy.
Got stuff
like,
going.
He's on Twitch. He's playing video games. He's, you know, he's young people love
he's Northwest.
Snell.
He's not Northeast.
I said what I said.
He's a sneaker guy. He like takes.
I'll
cool
say
pictures,
I'll say this.
Wearing
Glass
cool
now
sneakers.
Is a pretty boy, and I think brands would love to have his face be representative of their brand.
Depends what brand. You're thinking like old school McDonald's, Pepsi, all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm thinking how Judge about, like, has Pepsi and Jersey Mike's, and who? What world? This World Series, who can become that level star, like Subway commercial star? World Series makes stars out of people.
Keith Fairbanks.
I don't know, man. I think those companies still want the Judges and the Trouts and stuff like that. But you're talking about other big companies. You can talk about.
I've got one.
You know, Microsoft or Sony, and these. You know, Snell fits that perfectly.
Kevin Kiermaier.
Oh yeah, you can make a star out of him. He can go on Dancing with the Stars after this.
Kevin
Kiermaier. Oh my gosh, Dancing with the Stars with Kevin.
He is a catch.
Okay, that's kind of a better one. Like David Ross.
I love
David
that.
Ross with the Cubs.
Kiermaier is
the World Series made him a star. That. He goes on Dancing with the Stars. So who can be a temporary like
who's hot? Kiermaier and Glass now. And G-Man. Like a really sexy Charlie Morton.
Charlie Morton be great for
I
some
love Charlie Morton.
Some
salt.
Like salt company.
A salt company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buy my uncle's like, salt.
Yeah.
Charlie
yeah, like
Morton.
Like a Liberty Tax or Liberty Mutual or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Like, yeah, you need to win a big game.
Yeah.
I've got you covered. And so does Liberty Insurance.
Who was that?
Who was that?
Kiermaier's a bloop and a catch away from career,
that's a good
career
one. Somebody,
in baseball afterwards.
If somebody hits like a big homer late in the game for insurance runs, they flip that right into like State Farm commercial.
Mm-hmm.
We got the insurance runs. I don't know.
Zanino.
All right. That ends today's episode.
Aaron Loop.
Thank you guys very much for joining. We will be back tomorrow to recap whatever happens in the Dodgers and Braves Game 7. I'm so interested to find out.
John Curtis. You know, feed your farm animals.
Cash App, Kevin Cash. That's an easy one.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Quattraro, the bench coach.
Jake sucks.
Get him an Audi commercial. Audi Quattro. McClanahan's Irish Whiskey.